I am very good at logical explanations. And oftentimes during therapy, she has me get back into my body. And, you know, I have such a strong gut instinct. I have such a strong intuition, but oftentimes it's clouded because of the logic.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a seven-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast.
Today's episode is a personal one, and it honestly feels incredibly vulnerable, but also equally important. Today, I'm going to be sharing about something that has been so transformative, incredibly life-changing, something I've been experiencing for the last 6 months, which is therapy. And I've talked about it and brought it up in conversation and in solo episodes, but I've never actually dedicated an episode to this topic. And it feels really important. And I'm also just excited to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit and let you into this side of my life. And today I'm just going to share a little bit about what I've been learning about myself, things I've been working through, some of the mindset blocks I had around therapy in the first place, and so much more. So without further ado, let's peel back the curtain and dive on in. Oof, growing pains hurt. And when you're a marketer trying to generate leads for your brand new business, you know the pain all too well. Thankfully, there's HubSpot for Startups, a special program that gives startups discounts on HubSpot and so much more. But first, let's talk about the platform. The platform that unites your entire front office from marketing to sales to support. The platform that streamlines your support tickets, generates more leads, and increases sales. The platform that scales right along with you. Oh, and don't even get me started on the educational articles, industry reports, videos, tips, templates, literally everything founders need to help scale. HubSpot for Startups has it all. So get ready to build a brand everyone loves and make your startup growing pains a thing of the past. Visit HubSpot.com/startups to see how much you can save. That's HubSpot.com/startups. So I want to set the stage a little bit at where I'm coming at this episode from, because it's kind of wild to admit I have never done therapy, like ever, until 6 months ago. Like in my 35 years of living, I've never done therapy, minus the time that we had to like meet with my pastor of my church before we got married a couple times. And he was like the guy who baptized me. So a little bit different. And what's so interesting, and I want for you to understand before I go into kind of what I've been going through, is just that, like, I never doubted that therapy was an amazing tool. I never doubted how much help it could be. Therapy has transformed people that I love. It's been an amazing, amazing thing for so many people. And it was really interesting when even thinking about this topic and sharing it publicly, I had to really ask myself, well, why didn't I go to therapy sooner? And I think that there was a piece of me, and again, this is vulnerable, but there's a piece of me that was like, nothing I'm going through is bad enough to require it. Like, everyone has it worse. And like, who am I to need help processing some of these things? And so it's really interesting because obviously, you know, I grew up in the Midwest. I live in the Midwest. And I don't know, I don't want to like put a blanket statement out there for this area of the world, but I feel like in this area of the world, everything is just more hush hush. That's just kind of how it is. And I feel like people are just more private with their lives, especially things that are maybe heavier. And what's really interesting is that no one in my immediate family had ever done formal therapy growing up. It was never something we really considered. It wasn't something we talk about. And most of the instances when I was growing up where I would hear about therapy were around like big T traumas, right? Like big things that people were going through. And then, you know, therapy would just be a part of the equation or like the healing. And so for me, therapy often, and I think maybe I associated it with like this is like the final straw. Like this is the last straw, not necessarily a proactive attempt. And there wasn't, I don't want to say there was no negative stigma around it. It just wasn't really a tool that we had in our toolbox. And something that I think is like really important to call out before we start talking about this topic is just that like therapy isn't accessible to so many people. And I want to just be very conscious in bringing that into this conversation because I think it's so important. Like the average cost of therapy in the US ranges from $100 to $200 per session, depending on what state you're in. And unfortunately, only around 38.32% of therapists in private practice are in network with any insurance panel, meaning that this $100 or $200 often needs to be paid out of pocket, not to mention secondary costs like transportation or childcare. All of these things really point to a broken system and can make therapy incredibly unattainable or unsustainable for so many Americans. And one thing that I thought was really interesting is that even with all of these challenges, 80% of Americans in therapy surveyed by Verywell believe it is a good investment. 91% are satisfied with the quality of care they're receiving, and nearly 80% think therapy plays a major role in helping them achieve their mental health goals. So I just want to kind of put some of that data out there because I'm very aware that it is a privilege to be able to go to therapy. And I think that that can often be a piece of the equation as to why people can't get the help that they might need. So here's how this all got started. So I was on a girls' trip with a bunch of amazing women that most of you know last year. We were talking about like all the things. We talked about business, but we talked about marriage. We talked about work. We talked about sex. We talked about motherhood. Like we talked about everything. It was like the perfect girls trip. And we were talking about all the things under the sun. And I remember my friend Mel Robbins told me, she like looked me in the eye because I had said something. And I said, I've never done therapy before. And it wasn't coming from like a point of pride, but I think someone brought up therapy and then everyone was talking about therapy. And I was like, I have nothing to add to this conversation. I've never done it. And Mel was like, I have the perfect therapist. She is amazing. I like, you have to work with her. You would be such a good fit for her. And so coming out of that girls trip, I followed up with Mel and I was like, would you be willing to make a connection? And she did. And it was the first time that I had considered therapy and I felt like conviction with it. It was the first time I'd really reached out. I'd been on BetterHelp before and I'd got matched. And I just never took action. It was just, there's still a block there. And so I feel like over the last few years, I've definitely been cracking open in so many different ways, which we'll talk about a little bit here. And I've also just been really like inquisitive about why I am the way I am, what kind of things have impacted me. Just like, I mean, there's just a lot. There's a lot to unpack in each of us as humans. So Mel made the connection. It was so interesting because this was like in the summer and the therapist and I connected. I will never forget that first call. And she was just amazing. And I'll talk about how we kind of connected off the bat, but then she wasn't available for a couple months. And it was so interesting to me because I'd waited 35 years of my life, but now I was ready. And now I had to wait a few more months. And I was like, can I wait? Can I wait? Like, yes, Jenna, you've waited 35 years. You can wait a few more months. The wait was worth it. Anyways, what was such a blessing is that I know that like getting matched with the right therapist can be such a pain point. I've had so many different friends who just kind of gave up on therapy because they were with a therapist and they were like, they didn't get it or I didn't like them or whatever it is. I don't know why people don't like therapists, but I feel so lucky that I had such a strong recommendation from somebody I trusted and that it has been like a match made in heaven. And what's so interesting is that like, I think that if I had to hop around and try out different therapists and try to make those decisions and not really know like through the lens of what therapy is, like, is this a right fit or not? Should I be challenged? Should I like, I don't know if I would have followed through. I really don't. Like, I don't like wasting time and I have a really hard time like connecting with people that I don't know. And so I'm just so thankful for my recommendation. So my point here is like, if you have somebody in your life that you love and they have a therapist that they swear by, and if that therapist can be met by you, whether it's remote or if they're in your area, go off of recommendations. I am so, so grateful that I took the recommendation, that Mel made that connection. And it's so funny because I've uncovered through other friends who are like experiencing different things. Like I was recently at a mastermind and one of my friends was there and she said something, it sounded super familiar. And I was like, do you know? And I said my therapist's name. And then she was like, oh my God, I'm working with her. And like, it's just been really cool to see how this one person is like impacting so many people in a beautiful way. And for me, it was really important to work with someone who kind of understood the zone that I'm in and like the scope of my work and just kind of like what that looks like. I know for me, a roadblock often, and I think it's just a lie that I tell myself, is that like nobody's going to really understand like what I do. I mean, my own like parents sometimes don't totally understand exactly what I do for work and things. I mean, they do their best, but I sometimes am like, oh, I don't want to have to like explain this, or I don't want them to not understand it and then not understand like the scope of what I'm coming from. And so it was really helpful for me to work with someone who works with people that are in a similar industry and position as me. It just made me feel like I didn't have to like sit there and explain it, if that makes sense.
Hey, gold diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs. We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Gold diggers, we all know the B2B landscape can be a bit complex. From lengthy buying cycles to complicated decision-making processes, reaching your target audience can be tough. But I found a solution tailored just for you. LinkedIn ads. A whopping 79% of B2B content marketers say LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. That's because with LinkedIn ads, you're not just casting a wide net and hoping for the best. You're strategically building relationships and driving real results. We're talking about a platform with over a billion members, including 180 million senior level executives and 10 million C-level executives. You are networking with the actual decision makers. And LinkedIn's targeting and measurement tools are specifically designed for B2B marketers, meaning you're not wasting time or money on irrelevant leads. In fact, in the tech industry, LinkedIn ads have been shown to generate 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend compared to other social media platforms. Using LinkedIn ads allows you to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to industry trends and developments, whether it's finding the perfect partner for a collaboration or uncovering new opportunities for growth. LinkedIn can be your secret weapon. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/goal to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/goal. Terms and conditions apply.
So one thing that I really loved about my therapist and still like I appreciate so much is that from the very beginning, like literally from call number one, before I'd even hired her just to see if we were a good fit to work together, she really wanted me to set goals. And I don't know if this is a common practice in therapy, because again, I'm coming at this from like one lane of experience, but I loved from the very beginning, she was like, what do you want to work on? What are the things you want to focus on? Like, give me a few different objectives that we're going to center our time and our energy around. And I thought that this was really powerful because I, for some reason in my head, and again, I could blame like the media or my misunderstanding or mindset blocks. I just thought you just like show up and you just like word vomit about your week. And I think for some people, that's what therapy is and that's what they need. That is not what I want or need. And so I loved that it felt goal focused, not in this achiever way, but like more focused and energized on like, this is what I'm saying is most important. This is where I need the most work. This is where I want additional support. And so I know that every therapist probably practices differently, but I just really appreciate that I'm able to like openly express and talk about the things that really matter to me and like the areas of my life that I'm deeply exploring. And so like, for example, I'm not going to share all of the goals and areas that I'm working on in my life, but like one of them, and this is again, very personal to me, but was establishing my values and like figuring out, and a lot of this, to be entirely frank, is around deconstructing religion and rebuilding my faith and trying to figure out the dogma of the church and where that sits with like what I believe about God and how does this all intersect. And I was raised in the church. I was a part of Campus Crusade. I led a Bible study. I did all these different things in my life. And I think my vision of what faith is has shifted. My connection to God has changed. And it was something that I really wanted to work through in therapy. Like I just wanted to really figure out like what were the belief patterns that maybe did more harm than good? Where did they come from? Where did they stem from? How has that impacted me or imprinted on me? And so like that was one area that I wanted to work with her on, which has been fantastic. It's been so good. It's actually been wonderful for my faith and really, really powerful and just helped me to like ask myself bigger questions. Another area that I wanted to work on with my therapist was just like, how do I allow criticism into my life? How do I allow it to instruct me? How do I observe it without absorbing it? And just like, what does that look like? And, you know, I think a lot of times we forget that, you know, everyone in our lives, it doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing, there's criticism, right? Or there is judgment. And for me, it's like, you know, the higher I've gotten, quote unquote, like the harder it's also gotten in a lot of ways. And so I told her from the very beginning, like, I want to figure out like, what feedback and criticism do I allow into my life and allow to shape me? And like, how do I like brush off the opinions and things that don't actually speak to me and my values and who I am as a human being. And like just working through that, like that's something that I've done on my own and carried for so long that I want help in and I want tools around. And so like those were two of the things. And I think I gave her like four main areas of my life that I really wanted to be working on. And so I just think that it's been really powerful to say like in this phase of my life, these are the areas that I'm working on. This is what I want assistance in. This is what I want to talk through. This is what I want tools in. And it's also just helped me get clarity. I think a lot of times it's very easy to set goals of, you know, business goals and launch goals and different things like that. But like to really say like, these are the areas that I'm investigating in my own life. Really great. One thing that I am obsessed with my therapist is that she doesn't just talk through things, she gives tools. And like for me, that is so helpful because I don't want to feel like I have to rely on her or therapy as a whole to learn how to process these things better. I want to have like tools that I can implement where like I, again, am coming back home to myself and not feeling like I'm in another situation where I need to go through someone to get to a solution, if that makes sense. And so it's been really, really cool because I just learned so much. This is like why Mel was like, she dropped an F-bomb. She is so effing brilliant. And it's so true. And so it's been so cool for me because I feel like I'm just learning so much. We were talking a ton about like decision-making. And so here's an example from one of my therapy calls. So I had a therapy session. This was months ago. And right before my therapy call, I had had a call from my university that I went to, and it was from the chancellor of the university. And he asked for me to speak at the commencement ceremony. And I love my alma mater. I love it. I love the people. I love my experience there. And I felt very honored. Like, what an honor to be asked to speak at the commencement ceremony, to be able to like pour into these students that are graduating. And so on the call, we were talking about just tools to help make decisions. And she's like, well, give me an example of a decision you have to make. It doesn't matter what it is. And so I gave her this commencement. I was like, well, literally before this call, I got this invitation. And she's like, what percentage of you is a hell yes? And what percentage of you is a hell no? And I was like, 20% yes, 80% no. And she's like, oh, okay, why? And I was like, well, it was for the winter ceremony. I was like, it could be really snowy. I'm going to have to sit in the car for 10 hours. It's for a 20-minute speech. I'm going to be away from my kids. I don't really feel like driving my kids all the way there. Like, if I go back, I want to like be able to like enjoy campus and see people. And like, it just wasn't a part of the vision. And I was like, the yes part is like more of like the ego and like being of service and different things like that. And so then she's like, okay, go back to the no part. And she's like, close your eyes, go back in your body and ask yourself, like, where do you feel it in your body? And like, when I closed my eyes on this specific decision, I could like feel it in my chest. And then she's like, okay, try to remember your earliest memory of feeling that feeling. Like it could be something so random, whatever it is. And for me, it was performing on stage during Sunday school, like singing in front of the church. And my dad would be in church whenever we performed, but he didn't usually go to church. He worked the night shift. He worked weekends. Like, so it's usually my mom and us kids. And I remember that feeling of like being nervous on stage. I don't want to mess up. I want to do a good job. There's people's eyes on me. My dad's there. I want to make him proud. Like, just when I unpacked that memory from my early childhood, it like totally made sense. And so she was, you know, saying like, and the point of this illustration, and I'm doing a really bad job of explaining it, but she was giving me a tool to unpack where your yes and your no comes from. And she's like, it's okay if you say no, but if you're only saying no because of something from your inner child, you just have to have a consciousness around that. If you're only saying yes because of something from your inner child. And so one thing that I've learned so much through working with her is that I am very good at logical explanations. I love things that are concrete. And oftentimes during therapy, she has me get back into my body. And, you know, I have such a strong gut instinct. I have such a strong intuition, but oftentimes it's clouded because of the logic. And so, for example, with that commencement speech, like I ended up politely declining. I was so honored for the invite, but just the timing and with kids and everything, it just didn't work. But it was a beautiful tool of like when you have to make a big decision, like where are you feeling it in your body? Are you making it from your inner child or are you making it from like your whole woman is how she describes it, and just having an awareness around it. And so that's just one tiny little tool. But I really appreciated having that as not just her working through it and telling me the solution, but really saying, okay, this is how you can work through some of these decisions. And it's been like so helpful. And this is just one tool of a bajillion that I've gotten through therapy. And so if you are fortunate to be in therapy and maybe your therapist isn't giving you tools that you need, maybe ask them, like, how should I be thinking about this differently? Or the next time something like this happens, what should I consider? And I think that it's just been really beautiful because I feel like every time I meet with her and we even talk through something as silly as making a decision on a commencement speech, I learn a tool that then can be applied moving forward. Okay, so shifting gears, but one thing I like never even thought about with therapy that has been so life-changing for me on every level is that therapy has opened the door to have so much richer conversation with people in my life. I was just out to dinner with one of my best friends. We met each other freshman year of college. We've been like best friends for many years. And we talked about therapy and we were able to talk about things we were working on in therapy. And I was telling her, I was like, it's been so helpful. Like even in my marriage, instead of going up to Drew and being like, hey, what do you think about this? Or like, I've been pondering this. And it's like, well, where the hell did that come from? I've been able to say like, hey, in therapy, I was talking about this and it made me really ask myself about X, Y, or Z. Like, what do you think about this? And it's almost like you can not blame therapy for opening the door on conversations, but it enriches conversations in so many different ways. I've had beautiful conversations with my parents. I've had amazing conversations with my sister. I've had really deep conversations with Drew, with my friends. And I feel like it's given me like a entry point into harder conversations or things I'm investigating, because I can say in therapy, I learned this, or I'm working through this, or I'm asking this. And it gives you kind of that foundation to have those deeper conversations. And without just being like out of the blue or somebody feeling attacked or like, why are you thinking about this? And so that's been really, really awesome. Like, for example, I've just been really like introspective and curious too about like generational things. And I think when you do therapy, you start to see, and I mean, I think you can do this without therapy as well, but like you really start to see that like every adult is like a broken child. Like there's some wounded inner child in all of us. And it's made me very curious about my parents and their upbringings and their parents and their upbringings and generational things. And I had this really cool conversation with my dad where we were just talking about his upbringing and his mom, who my grandma, I miss terribly. I think about her all the time. She's with me. I can feel it. And I was like talking to my dad just about like her and her upbringing, her mother and all of these different things. And my dad had said something so cool where he was like, you know, every generation is just trying to do better. Every generation is improving. And he's like, you know, sometimes the pendulum can swing too hard in the other direction. And, you know, we're all leaning on each other and our ancestors and our guides. And you know, it's just like a very deep, beautiful conversation. My dad is not like, he loves to be the life of the party. And I mean, he's like your traditional Midwestern dad. And so just like having conversations like that, it's so meaningful. But I also think too, it like also impacts the people you're having those conversations with to ask those bigger questions. And I think it's really cool. And, you know, for me, one of the biggest like roadblocks or things to understand when I started therapy is, you know, I would be talking about different things about my past. It could be with friends or family or whatever. And I remember right away at the beginning asking my therapist, like, I feel like I'm like betraying people that I love, like people that I know are doing the best they can do. And she's like, you're not betraying. You're like healing things. Like you're healing yourself. You have the opportunity to heal past generations and future generations. Like this is the most beautiful work you could be doing. But like, again, I think that Midwestern of like, keep things closed, keep things private, et cetera. Like it was really hard for me to share a lot of vulnerable things at the beginning. And so I just think something that I'd never heard anybody talk about as a benefit of therapy is just the richness of the conversations that can come from somebody that is doing therapy, that is willing to take therapy out of that hour that you're spending with your therapist and bringing it into your life and integrating it. And it's been really beautiful. And I feel like Drew is getting like residual therapy through my therapy just because we have such beautiful conversations around it. And I really love that. Another thing that's been so interesting, and again, like it could just be that my therapist does things differently or that I just was so unaware, but like I get homework. So like after every session, I get homework and I love that it's a part of the practice. And it's been sometimes challenging to integrate and sometimes beautiful to integrate, but like, I know I'm going to have accountability, like just having that accountability of like, someone is going to follow up. Like today I have therapy this afternoon and there's a piece of homework that I still haven't been doing because I have a mindset block around it. And I know she's going to ask me about it. And so it's like, that accountability, someone asking me like, how did it go? What did I learn? What questions do I have? Like that has kept me in pursuit of the discomfort that comes when you uncover yourself and try to go deeper with yourself. And so, you know, in the past, I think there was this version of me that was just like, I'll figure it out. I'll do it by myself. I'll do it. And like having that extra commitment and that follow-up has been so valuable, so challenging. So like some of the homework could be like reading a book. And like, again, like I don't have all the time in the world to do this, but like I've dug into some of the books, podcast episodes, articles, just different things. And I love too that like after each week I get like a little summary and then just like a little like here's what to work on or here's the challenge for you or here's the conversation to have or things like that. And that's been super powerful. And one thing that I think is so interesting is like finding a flow and a rhythm that works for you. So, you know, I have friends that do therapy every single week. I have friends that go once a month. I have friends that go when they're in distress. Like, and one thing I really appreciate about my therapist is that she has like, I so respect her work. I respect her work so much that at one point, like we had the stomach flu in our house and I was like, I'm not going to miss my call because I like value her time so much. I wasn't going to cancel on her. And she was like, Jenna, you can totally cancel. Cause I was like, everyone's puking. We've all been puking. If anyone has gotten the flus that are going around this year, it's terrible. And she was like, oh my gosh, no. And anyways, I made it through the call, but I just have a deep, deep respect to her work and the flow and the structure. And so she runs like an amazing business and a beautiful practice. And so I just have such a respect for how and why she does the things that she does within it. For example, like when I started as a client with her, she had an entire online course that I'd work through. And then we would talk about it each week at the beginning. And, you know, it helped for me to learn even more from her without having to do the one-on-one calls. It saved her from having to repeat herself over and over and over again for every single client. And it was just like, it really set a deeper foundation from the beginning. Like if you are someone who works one-on-one, but there's foundations that you believe everyone should know, having something like that, where when they sign up to work with you, they've got to go through the foundations first, and then you can go and skip to like the good part, right? And so like, I loved that. During the first few months, she had a specific structure that she wanted me to be on. And then after that time, we evaluated. And like, for me, I need time to process. Like I am like a deep thinker and an implementer. And so we decided instead of doing like weekly or even three times a month, like I do two sessions a month. So every other week, which works really well for me. And we decided that I'm going to do one talk session a month. So again, just like conversations, questions, different things coming up. And then I've been doing EMDR. So if you've never heard of EMDR, EMDR therapy is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So it is a psychotherapy treatment that is designed to alleviate the distress associated with traumatic memories. There has been so much research on EMDR therapy. It's now recognized as an effective form of treatment for trauma by organizations such as the American Psychiatric Association, the World Health Organization, and the Department of Defense. Like, this is a therapy. I'd heard people talk about it. I didn't understand it and I didn't really know what it was. So the basic idea behind EMDR is that traumatic experiences become stuck in our brain. So if you've ever studied or learned anything about like neural pathways, it's like they're carving into your brain in a way, which can often, if you're storing trauma or like the body keeps score, right, causing distressing systems and can even impact your daily function based on the level of trauma. EMDR aims to help individuals process these experiences in a way that reduces their emotional intensity and allows them to integrate them more effectively into their lives. So when we were kind of working through some of the deeper stuff, my therapist was like, I think EMDR would be amazing for you. I can facilitate it. We meet online, like virtually, whenever we meet. And so I remember talking to one of my best friends who had done EMDR before my first session. And she was like, just go into it fully committed. Don't question, is this working? Is it helping? Is it not helping? What am I doing? Just like go into it. And so basically with EMDR, what you do is you, and again, not an expert sharing my experience, you go through and you basically relive a traumatic experience with your therapist guiding you through it. And you figure out different thought patterns that came from that trauma. And then you reimagine that same experience with a very different outcome and the new story you're telling yourself. While you're doing all of this, you are watching something on a screen, or if you're in person, it would be a different way, where your eyes are literally going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And there is something proven that like you become more desensitized with this eyelid and this rapid movement. I don't know how it works, but it does. And so she gave this example because I was like, I don't really understand how this works. So she was saying, like, let's say you were walking down a street in New York City and you were mugged and robbed. And you, the story you told yourself is like, I do not feel safe, right? You can do EMDR, and then the story you could tell yourself, you can make it as whimsical or wild as possible. So you could tell yourself the story. I was walking down the street and an eagle came and lifted me up right as the robbers were about to mug me, and I was safe, and I am safe, and I can trust myself. And what's interesting is that we've done 4 EMDR sessions, and every time I'm like, I don't think I need this. And then I go through it. And what's beautiful is throughout the whole time, it's like you're checking in as to like how stressed you are or like how reactive you are to that. And so it's interesting because it's not a cure-all, but it has been so helpful. And there were different situations in my life where like I wouldn't have been able to talk about them without crying before. And now I can very clearly talk about them, and I just don't feel that emotional charge stored in me as much. And so it almost like pulls those feelings out of your body. That's what my experience has been. So if you've never done EMDR, I would definitely look into it. If you have trauma or if you can feel like nervous system reactions to things you've been through. And again, what's so fascinating to me is that for so long, I didn't do therapy because I was like, nothing I've ever been through is that bad. Like I recognize I was raised, you know, by an amazing family in a great small town, you know, we're middle class. Like I recognize all these things. So I was like, there are people out there that have it way worse than me. But at the same point too, I think my learning and my scope of understanding has expanded so deeply to recognize that we have all been impacted. There have all been things that we have carried that are not ours to carry anymore, that we haven't processed, that we have just stuffed down, that we have moved away from, that we have created beliefs around. And I just think anyone could benefit from therapy. Like I wish I wouldn't have waited so long, but I'm also grateful at this version of me for being open and like dedicated to this ongoing healing and learning and growing. Like I just, you know, I feel like over the last few years, I've just like been cracked wide open, and it's felt very vulnerable, but it's also been so beautiful. And I struggle to know what parts of it to share and what parts of it to keep sacred. And, you know, it's just a lot to navigate. It's a life is a lot to navigate, no matter who you are and what you do. And so I just wanted to kind of record this one as like a timestamp in my own life of like, wow, look at the work we're doing and the work that is still yet to be done. But also as an encouragement, I recently heard this line. I was like, oh my gosh, that is so true. And the line was, if you want to heal yourself, become an entrepreneur. And the messaging around it was that entrepreneurship and all of the things that it will bring, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is going to reveal all the areas of your life where you need healing and all the places in your life where you are triggered. And it's so true. Like, not enough entrepreneurs talk about the fact that when you are putting yourself out there, when you are creating offers, when you are trying to serve the world or change the world, when you mess up publicly, when you, all these things, it's all you and a part of you, but it's things that you will grow from. And I want help growing. I don't want to grow alone. And so if you want to heal yourself, become an entrepreneur, because you are going to be grown and stretched. You are going to evolve and pivot. You are going to become in so many ways. And you will see those areas where you are vulnerable, and you will learn those places that you need the healing. And it will be a challenging and beautiful experience. It'll be the hardest and the best thing you've ever done. And I think honestly, that's kind of what therapy has been. I guess I don't have much else to add. If you are on the fence about doing therapy and you have the means and the access to do it, do it. There is so much power in even just setting aside an hour of time and saying, I'm worth it. I'm worth the work. I'm committed to the work. I love that I am filling up my toolbox with tools that I never had, that other generations of my family didn't have access to. And I am proud of the way that I'm not only healing myself, but also creating a healing environment for my children. And maybe if you liked this episode, I'll do an update on it some other time. Let me know. But that's all I've got to say. Thank you so much for being a part of my life, being a part of this crazy journey, and being a part of this podcast. Until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals.
I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Goal Digger podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to goaldiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for Goal Diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at goaldiggerpodcast.com.